My name is Darren. I get a chance to open God's Word with you, and I'm really grateful for that opportunity this morning. If you have your Bible as you're coming back and as you sit down, you can open it to Matthew chapter 28, which is where we'll be today. I'll read it in just a second, but we're in kind of the second week of a three-week series called Making Disciples, a pretty short series here that we're in, and I'm excited to jump into kind of part two of it this week. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to read the scripture where we base this whole thing off of, give us a chance to kind of ponder it a little bit before we talk about it. So again, we're in Matthew 28, verse 16 and following. We're going to read that this morning. Let's read together. You'll see the words behind me on the screen if you don't have your Bibles, but let's see what the Lord says to us this morning. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray together. God, thanks for your word. Thanks that it's transformative for our lives. Lord, I pray that as we talk about kind of the topic of baptism today, that you'd help us understand what you have for us, why it's important in our discipleship and why it's part of making disciples, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd most of all speak to us here this morning, that your spirit would be ministering to us wherever we're at, in our hearts and in our minds this morning. And God, I pray that we would not miss the grace of God, no matter how we've come in here, Lord, but we'd experience it for ourselves and walk out of here compelled to share the story of grace with others as well. Lord, we love you. Commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, happy Mother's Day to all you moms. It's great to have you here. We recognize that Mother's Day has some emotions behind it as well. And so I just want to say, you know, it's a good day to come and experience the grace of Christ together, no matter where you're at. And so our hope is to make much of Jesus here this morning. And so as you experience his word and you experience the hope of Christ here, that you're transformed by that, not necessarily by good feelings or weird feelings or conflict of emotions when it comes to thinking about Mother's Day, but rather we're going to make much of Jesus today. And in that, you can greatly rejoice. We're, like I said, in this series that we've called Making Disciples, and the second part of it is this idea of baptism, which is where we're at. But while we review, let me tell you a little bit about what we just studied last week in this idea of going to help you set the context for baptism. We learned last week that it was kind of the idea of as you are going. It's not just the sense of going like we're all cross-cultural missionaries per se if we become Jesus followers, but rather a disciple is one who just lives out their faith as they are going about life. So we said a disciple is one who has believed in Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, and has expressed their faith by being baptized and now following the commands of Jesus on a regular basis. This is a disciple. But that's not all. You're not called just to discipleship, but you're also called to make disciples, to be a disciple maker. And a disciple maker is one who helps someone else, whether they are Christian or not, to trust and follow Jesus Christ. And that becomes our job description, the commission that God has given to all of us if we follow Jesus, the Great Commission, as the Bible tells us. And we saw that there's this big verb, this big idea, make disciples. That's our big goal. And the ways we do this is this idea of going as we are going. And the second one here is baptizing. Next week, we'll focus more on the teaching aspect of that and what that looks like. But the hope of this is to think about the idea of baptism today and what is Jesus saying when it comes to discipleship by way of baptism. And so that's where we're going to go today, and that's what I'm hoping that you will understand before we walk out of here, because we're going to celebrate baptisms next week when we begin, as Ben said, wheel out the big behemoth and baptize some folks there and celebrate new life in Christ together in that. You know, I was telling the lead team this week before I... In a message that I had a crazy experience this week, and it stems from a few weeks ago where I'm sitting in Starbucks. And so I sit in Starbucks sometimes on a regular basis to prepare my sermons or do some work, because otherwise I work in this little cubicle with Ben Acone, and that just is not helpful at all because I never get anything done. You think I'm joking, don't you? Yeah, that's right. No, it's, and so I get out of here sometimes to just be in Starbucks and to do some studying or get some things done. And I'm sitting there one day and I'm actually finishing up my sermon. It was a few weeks ago and I had some headphones on, and I'm literally staring intently at my computer. Like, every sign was like introvert in his own element. Don't bother him, right? But this guy kind of waves at me a little bit and kind of gets my attention. I look up. I'm like, what is going on? You know? So anyway, I take off the headphones. He's like, hi. I'm like, hi, you know, like, how are you? He's like, oh, I'm fine. I just wanted to say hi. It was pretty early in the morning. And so he's just getting his coffee. And so my first thought was obviously what your first thought would be. And that is, I'm thinking the multi-level marketing scheme's about to come, right? He got my attention. I'm sitting in Starbucks. That's what I'm fearing for. Oh my gosh, here it comes. I'm bracing myself for this whole thing. But it wasn't. In fact, he had just graduated from UW. He's a young guy and he just started in the business world and he just wanted to say hi. He's getting his coffee. He's obviously an extrovert and obviously wanted to have a conversation. And so I was like, all right, here it goes, you know, and it was so funny because I'm sitting there working on my sermon and how ironic that I don't want to talk to someone else, right? You know, it's the irony of that is not lost on me by any means, but we start chatting. And so he tells me what he does for a living. And I tell him, he asked me, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, oh, here it goes. You know, like we're in this, we're about to go down a road that you might not want to go down. But I said to him, hey man, yeah, I'm a pastor of a church and I planted a church a few years ago in Woodinville. He's like, oh really? That's crazy. Tell me more about that. I'm like, what do you want to know? There's a whole lot of things I could tell you, you know? And so I said to him, like, do you have any church experience? And he says, no, I've never been to church before. I was like blowing my mind. Here's like a 19, he's probably 23 to 25 years old, never been to church before. And I was like, that just blows my mind a little bit. And so I said to him, you know, we get to the end of the conversation, things are going well in the conversation. He sees his coffee, he's got to get going to work. And I just say to him, hey man, you should try going to church sometime. You know, you can come to Imprint Church. We'd love to have you there. It'd be great to have you. Or just here, do me a favor, type in Google Jesus-centered churches. All right. That's what I want you to type into Google and see if you can find a church in your area that you could go to. So fast forward to Thursday. I'm sitting in Starbucks on Thursday morning, 7:30 a.m., finishing my sermon, not with my headphones on this time, but all of a sudden I hear, hey, it's Darren, isn't it? I look over and lo and behold, here's that young man again. I was like, hey, how's it going? What's happening? And so we start chatting and I ask how business was going and he's changing jobs already. Things are going well and all that kind of stuff. But he looks at me and goes, I can't believe I ran into you. And the reason why is because I went home and did what you said. I Googled Jesus-centered churches and I came up with this church called Church Ohm. And I started going to this church a few weeks ago, about 6 weeks ago. And he's like, I've gone every week since the first week I was there. And you know what's amazing? He's like, I've never heard this message of grace before. And the community really loves me. And I've made some friends there and it's been really cool. And I'm like, you know, like my mind is blown. Like, I'm like, that's amazing because I didn't do anything to have that happen to you. Like nothing at all. I was minding my own business in my own little world, typing my sermon, getting the irony of all that. But here's this guy who tells me this story. And I was like, that is amazing. And so I wrote this to our lead team and Tom says, you got to share that with the church on Sunday. And I was like, yeah, I do. You know what? The funny thing is, it was just simple. As I was going, I wasn't even trying to make disciples. It was like, God was like, here you go, do this, you know? And it was like this amazing, amazing moment that I just wanted to share it to you to encourage you to, as you're going, just to make yourself available. I mean, who knows what you're going to do this week to invite someone to church, maybe not even Imprint Church, some other church and whatever it might be, but God uses those things in people's lives. And I was just blown away by that. It was a cool moment. It reminded me of as you are going. That's just simply what it is. And so may you find that same experience in your own life, even if you're like me and you weren't even trying, it wasn't even an attempt to be evangelistic. And here God placed someone in my path. That is as you are going. Today is the baptism piece. Today is the piece of what's the next step after someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ. We know that what we see in the scripture is that baptism is important. But the question that I've been wrestling with this week is why? Why is baptism so important? Have you thought of this before? Like, what is the deal with baptism? Is why is it keep coming up within the context of the scriptures? You may even say to yourself, it seems really strange to spend an entire sermon about baptism. But you may think at the end of this, and I hope you do, that it's not strange. In fact, we're going to see a few things about baptism in the context of the scriptures and why Jesus commissioned us to be baptized and to see people baptized. We're going to see that in the scriptures, and I think you'll hope that it's not as strange as you might think right now. The big main idea of today's message is this: baptism identifies and sets apart a disciple of Jesus Christ with Christ and his body, the church. That's the big idea of today's message. Baptism identifies and sets apart a disciple of Jesus with Christ and with his body. That is the church. Therefore, what happens in this is it becomes extremely important to be a person who is baptized and is convinced that baptism is important. If indeed it identifies and sets apart a person, this is the next step in discipleship. You know, what we also learn from this is it's inherently relational, baptism is. We see this because it's relational with God. It sets us apart with God, and it also sets us apart with God's people, the church. And so there's a relational piece of this. You're baptized into something as well, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. The baptism isn't just for you personally, but it's for the community of faith as well. And it becomes part of our discipleship and disciple-making process. And it is relational in nature that you are choosing to follow Jesus and that you're choosing to be part of the local church. Keep in mind that disciples are not mass produced by any means. Have you seen the show on Discovery Channel, How It's Made? You guys ever watched that show before? The show shows an assembly line of processes of mass producing products of some sort, and it is awesome. If you've not seen it before, you're totally mesmerized by these lines and things that are going on. But it doesn't work like this in the context of people's lives. In fact, your baptism may be messy. You may have stumbled to get there at some point. You may be stumbling to that right now and trying to figure out whether you should be baptized and being a follower of Jesus Christ. But it becomes our commission. It becomes my job this morning to place it before you and say, you should consider this if you are a disciple of Jesus. And if you're not a disciple of Jesus, you should become one and then follow Christ in baptism. So as I was thinking about this sermon this week, I have a little thought for you to help you think about baptism. Because I was like, man, how do I do this? How do I make anything sticky with anyone about baptism that would remember anything a few hours from now? And so I was literally staring at my computer keyboard this week. You have a computer keyboard that kind of looks like this. This is my keyboard here. And I looked at this and I had these arrows on my computer. Every computer has one. This is just mine. But you see on the computer keyboard these arrows. And I realized at some point I could use these arrows as an illustration for baptism. Because baptism does all of these things in the context of your life or in the people's lives who are baptized. And it actually shows us what baptism really is. All right? Go with me here for a second. All right? Baptism is this. The up arrow is God's calling. It's the authority of Jesus and what he tells us to do. It's upward in nature. The down arrow is God's work. It's the symbolism of baptism, what it's supposed to mean for us and what it means to us personally and to us corporately. The back arrow is God's agenda, the history of baptism in the redemptive plan of God that's been around since before Jesus, but was really instituted for the church by Jesus going forward. And then the forward arrow is this idea of God's family, that we get baptized into a community and part of a family of faith. So there you go. Upwards, God's calling. Downwards, God's work. Backwards, God's agenda, and forwards, God's family. That's what baptism is all about, and that's how it plays into your discipleship. I'm going to look at these four really briefly this morning. Let's look at the up arrow. The up arrow is this idea that God has commanded baptism for each one of us who follow Jesus Christ. The big idea here is that Christians are baptized people. They're set apart by God. They're identified by God. And that is the hope of baptism in our lives. We like to talk about baptism as being external baptism is an outward demonstration of an inward change. So we like to talk about it. It's an outward sign of an inward reality is another way we see that. It's something you're showing to the world. And it's because of this commandment by God to be baptized. Like, for instance, have you ever seen a can in a store with no label on it? You've been walking through the store before and you get to the clearance aisle and there's like cans there and stuff's ripped off. You're like, you're not going to buy that thing, are you? Because you have no idea what's in there. In fact, after First Gathering, someone came up to me and said, man, do you know that they used to have wedding parties, like bridesmaids parties many, many years ago, where everyone as part of the bridesmaids would rip off the labels of the can, sign their name on it, and then give that to the bride and groom as a couple. And so dinner just became like, let's open a couple cans and see what we're having tonight, you know? That became their thing. I was like, that's kind of a fun thing. I've never heard of that before. We should reinstitute that. It's kind of a funny way to do it. But the label here makes known its contents, right? You don't go in hoping for peaches and open it up and get green beans, right? You're like, I want the peaches. And so you have this label on the outside, and this becomes what baptism is. It's commanded by God so that we can identify as being a Christian. It becomes the label for us. It's public demonstration to the community of faith that you would like to follow Jesus and be his disciple. Now, keep in mind, friend, it doesn't mean that baptism saves you. It doesn't. It's not how to be saved. It's your next step in the process. It's not a step of salvation. I was saved in a church, actually, that believed you had to be baptized in order to be saved. I went to a high school camp when I was a 10th grader, and the preacher got up and shared the message of the grace of Jesus and what he can do for you and take away your sins, and I was all in that night. But I didn't know what baptism was. I had no clue what baptism was, and so I said no the next morning for when they baptized all the kids in the pool. I was not one of those kids that got baptized in the pool that day. But I did go back to my church later on. I got baptized with a friend of mine, which was really meaningful to me. But I remember the youth pastor didn't think I was actually saved after that. But I was like, no, Jesus has totally transformed my life. And I learned later as I studied the scriptures and I saw that baptism becomes the first step of a disciple of Jesus. It becomes someone who says, man, I'm following the authority, the up arrow. I'm submitting myself to the authority of God and I'm choosing to be baptized. And that's what happens. It labels you in that way. Now, part of this reason I think about the authority thing a little bit here is you have to understand something about this. And that's this. Do you know that Christianity is not our or someone's contribution to mankind? Like, if you thought about that, I think sometimes people think that Christianity is just some sort of contribution to mankind, and like someone created it way back in the day, and now people live in it to make them better people, or so they're not this way, or so they're that way, or they've created a community of faith or something like that. But it's not that way. Ours is a received faith. We've received what we believe. Does that make sense? We're not making things up. And so baptism is not something we just created to do to identify the label on the can. This is something that was passed on to us from the early days of Christianity and before so that we might follow in its steps. I mean, even Paul, talking about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 12, says, "For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you." Paul's even saying, I received this from the Lord, and it's been given to me, and I'm passing it along. Baptism is the same thing. We're not recapitulating something someone made up years ago so that we could have our own little club. We're rather following along the lines of what Jesus has called his people to. And this is what it means to be a disciple. It means that we are following what Jesus commands. In fact, in John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Jesus says this. Jesus commands we get baptized, so therefore we follow his authority. Secondly, the down arrow. Think about the down arrow. This is what baptism does in you. This is God's work in a person's life, and it's what the symbol means. But here's the thing, friends. Baptism is symbolic, but it's not merely symbolic, all right? And what I mean by this is there is meaning behind getting baptized. Now, we don't like to think of categories of mysticism in the church because it sounds Eastern in some way, but there's something mysterious and mystical about baptism. And I don't mean that in the Eastern way. I mean that in the Holy Spirit-informed way. There's something that happens in the context of baptism that is supernatural. The Lord does a work in you that moment. Ask anyone in here who's been baptized. It's a moment of work in your life by Christ. And many people could look back on that day and say, man, I remember when I was baptized and I remember the change that it made in me. Several years ago, I got to baptize a man with his best friend. And as we did this, it was amazing because I baptized him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as I pulled him out of the water, he pretty much catapulted himself out of water and jumped up and put both his hands in the air like this. And I'm like, whoa, easy there, man. You know, I'm like, okay. But he got it. Like I realized like I should just let him jump. I hope he doesn't slip and fall in the baptism tub and I'll baptize him again then. We'll just do it again. But it was this moment of like, oh, he got it. There was this supernatural moment where he was informed of this grace of God in his life. And he was so excited about that moment that he got it. And for some reason, I feel that is just some part of baptism for us as well. Even Jesus, when he was baptized, which we'll talk about more in just a second here, if you remember, there was this moment when he was baptized, when he experienced the Lord's presence, where the Holy Spirit fell upon him, and in some mystical way, the Lord showed up in that moment. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have some supernatural experience if you decide to get baptized next week, and the Holy Spirit's going to come floating down on you like a dove or something like that here at Imprint Church. That's not even what we're aiming for here at Imprint Church. But I am to tell you that you experience something amazing in that moment of baptism where you identify and set yourself apart as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Moreover, what baptism does in you is the amazing idea that God is now with us as his people. Like, this goes back to Jesus' baptism, where the Lord looked down at Jesus and said, "This is my son, with him I am well pleased." He experienced this moment of the presence of God with him that catapulted him out to ministry as well. And it really sent him into doing the work that God had for him. All throughout Matthew, we're told, like, we're introduced in Matthew chapter 1 to Jesus, who is Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. God with us. And then we're two or three gather in Jesus' name. There I am with them. And then at the very end, what does he say here? We just saw in Matthew 28 where he talks about baptism. And then he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There's something about baptism that kind of almost seals this sense of God's presence in your life. Like, oh yeah, I'm receiving that by faith. And so this is what baptism does in you and what God allows to have happen to you in the moment of baptism. And we know that throughout Scripture, we see over and over again that God's presence fuels people for ministry. If you've not seen this, it's a beautiful picture. Whenever we see that God is with someone, it sends them out into do the work of, I'll use the words making disciples, even though it's Old Testament context and things as well. Think about Moses in Exodus chapter 3, where God promises that he will be with him. And then Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, that the Lord says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And then what do they do? Both those men go out in ministry that God's called them to do because the Lord was with them. And so it charges us and sends us out. And that's the promise and the hope of the down arrow of what baptism does in us. It fuels us, and it's the promise of his presence that comforts us and helps us do things like sharing the gospel or sharing about church with someone on Starbucks on a Thursday morning or something. You have that available to you as well. Now, am I saying it comes automatically through baptism? No, but I am telling you there's something about that moment that is amazing and supernatural that compels you to do the work of God. Let's look at the back arrow. The back arrow is this. This is the history of baptism and how baptism has played a part in God's redemptive plan. And this should give you some context to think about why baptism is so important. Again, not a received or not a made up thing, not our contribution to mankind, but received because we've seen it happen in the past. Moreover, we see two very, very significant things that happened in the early church history in the Gospels and in Acts that help us realize why we should be baptized. The very first one is the trump card of all trump cards, and it's this: Jesus himself was baptized, right? If you've ever thought of a reason to be baptized, it's this. Jesus Christ submitted himself to that idea of baptism. Right at the start of his public ministry, he went all the way down from Galilee where he was starting his work in the ministry and where he was calling his disciples to follow him. He went all the way down to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptizer, who was down there baptizing people who wanted to publicly confess their sins. And it was amazing because Jesus went down there to do it as well. You might say to me, what in the world? Why did Jesus submit himself to baptism when he was the sinless Son of God? Why in the world would he have done that? He didn't need to repent. He was the one who came to take away the sins of the world. Why should he be baptized? And his answer is clarifying for us. Jesus says the words, "It is proper for me to do this to fulfill all righteousness." That's what he says. I'm here to follow God as well. I'm here to fulfill the righteous calling that God has on my life. Jesus himself was going out in that moment to be a disciple maker. And he says, I'm going to be set apart for that work of the ministry. Now, it's possible some commentators agree that Jesus was just showing his support for John's ministry in some ways, or that he was seeking to identify with sinners in some way, shape, or form. But I think he was most of all leaving this example to follow him in that idea of baptism and to say, yes, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to identify with Christ, who is my Savior and Lord, in this way. Baptism, I think, as well for Jesus, may have even pointed to some meaningful way to the cross of Christ. It's a picture of what he was going to go through for us when he died. He was buried in the water and rose again, and when he was resurrected unto new life. And so maybe there's some sort of deeper issue behind that or deeper thought behind that when we think of baptism, that it actually pointed forward for Jesus Christ and his suffering and his death and a sacrifice that would make it possible for us to come to know God. And then it's amazing because in Jesus' baptism, like I said a minute ago, he also experienced that moment where he's like, I'm going out into ministry now, and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Jesus was baptized, so should we. Secondly, the early church was baptized as our example. Early believers. Now, we studied Acts a few months ago here at Imprint, which was really great. As we read through the book of Acts, we saw the explosive growth of the early church, and we discovered that everyone who turned to faith in Jesus Christ, their first step was baptism. I mean, we didn't see baptism as an optional extra for people's lives, nor was it delayed for any reason. People received the truth of the gospel, and then they were baptized. I mean, we saw this over and over again in the story of Pentecost, in 3,000 people coming to faith in Christ. Their first step was baptism. The man on the road, the Ethiopian fish who was on the road in Acts 8:36 through 38, he ran into a man named Philip. And here is the Ethiopian man who says to Philip, as they came along the road to some water, the eunuch said to Philip, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized him. Reminds me of the guy who came up to me in Starbucks. It's like the Ethiopian is telling Philip how to do his job in that way, which was amazing. I need to be baptized. What's keeping me from being baptized? It's my first step that I'm supposed to do as a follower of Jesus Christ. I was talking to Lindsay just a minute ago, right before a gathering, and he said something really compelling to me. He goes, "I think sometimes people think of baptism as like this extra step of maturity in a Christian faith. Like all of a sudden you become really mature if you get baptized, and you can't actually get baptized unless you're willing to take that next step of maturity in your faith." Hogwash, all right? Baptism is just simply your next step. Like, you don't have to have a full cleaned up life in order to get baptized. It's not something you do when you say, "Okay, I'm going to set myself apart to be really spiritual now, and so I'm going to jump in the water and get baptized." Baptism is just simply the next step, and we see this in the early ministry of the church. People received Christ, and they were baptized. It's pretty amazing. It's a picture of what we too should experience in our churches each and every day. I imagine there are many people in the early church who still had questions. I have so many questions. Why? What is Jesus? What does it really mean to follow him? What does it look like? And yet they were still baptized in that way. One of the cool things is that we get the benefit of having the Apostle Paul explain a little bit more about baptism for us. And he does this in Romans chapter 6. You're welcome to turn here. I'll just read it and I'll have it on the screens behind me if you want as well. But it gives a little more of the picture of what baptism does and what it symbolizes for us as people who are baptized. And Paul writes in Romans 6 verses 1 through 4 these words. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Paul's explaining here what baptism is in a very unique way. When he says simply what you're doing is you're identifying, you're saying, "Gone is the old way of life. I'm walking in a new reality of life in Christ." That's what baptism is in the sense of Paul explaining it. It's a burial, a death, and it's a resurrection symbolically. It's a putting under the water. You're going to see this next week. You'll see this shown next week in a classic example. Under the water, and hopefully we pull them out so they don't actually literally die down there, right? But they pull out unto newness of life, death, resurrection, newness of life. This is what Paul explains to the early church. He goes on in Galatians 2:20 to say, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So water baptism becomes a symbolic burial of our lives. We're united with Christ in his new life. This is the cool part of baptism for each one of us as well. Now, what I want to do really quick here is a couple brief things to answer a couple questions that I'm sure people have about baptism. And they are interesting questions because there's questions about the mode of baptism or when you should get baptized and all of those things. There's many questions that can be answered. Someone came up to me after gathering and said, "Hey, can you take communion here if you were not baptized?" You know, and I realized, oh yeah, there's churches that do that as well. And you may have experienced a church like that where you couldn't come and take the Lord's Supper until you were baptized. And that may be a question of yours. If you want to know more information about that, we actually have a thing on the back that says about the Lord's Supper at Imprint Church. You can read that if you want to at some point and talk about what happens with that. But I want to address two other things. One is briefly about infant baptism, and two is quickly about the mode of baptism, why we dunk people. All right, it's a good question. And for those of you who might be wondering, here's your answers for that. For infant baptism, we see some church denominations and traditions who do infant baptism. Like we did with our family family dedication this morning, we see sometimes where they'll baptize a baby either by sprinkling or pouring water on them as a way to commit them unto God. And then a lot of times what it'll turn that into is a confirmation class many years ahead, most of the time when a child's about 12 years old, to confirm their baptism. You'll see this happening in the context of Reformed churches, Presbyterian churches, some Covenant churches, some Methodist churches, some of those churches that run traditionally like that. Here's what I'm going to say about that, all right? This is something our elder board never wanted to argue about. We just didn't want to. We felt like this is a secondary issue in terms of our church and our church ministry. We spent a lot of time talking about this because we had a little bit of roots in kind of a Baptist background, which the idea of Baptist background is you're always baptized as a believer. And so we wrestled with this as a team because we knew this was going to be one of those things where we'd have people from many different traditions here as part of the church, and our main goal was to make much of Jesus on a regular basis and to baptize people. However, what we see within the context of Scripture is always believers' baptism. So that's what we practice here at Imprint Church. We won't ever baptize an infant, all right? It's just not what we'll do here. There may be some churches' experiences that do that, and I'll tell you more about what the response to that can be in just a second here, but we won't do that here. We always want a person to come to faith in Christ first, to say, I want to follow Jesus, and then we baptize them. Now, what age does that become? That's a lot of times up to parents, and so we spend time with parents. Sometimes there's been kids we baptized here. I remember last time we baptized some way a kid who went in there was talking about Pokemon as well, which was amazing. It was so great. And he baptized because he was excited about following Jesus. And I was like, young guy who decided to follow Jesus. And it was just a wonderful celebration. And we worked with his parents on talking through that as well. And it was cool to see. So we always practice believers' baptism here. However, here's something I want to throw out to you really quick. We're not going to fight with you if you've been through a church experience like that, where you've been infant baptized, you went through confirmation, and you felt like that was meaningful to you. My best friend was Reformed growing up. He's a great guy. He's baptized an infant, went through his confirmation when he was 12 years old, and proceeded to tell me about 7 years ago at a campfire we were at about how meaningful his confirmation was to his life and how he confirmed his baptism. And it kind of blew my mind a little bit. And I was like, that is amazing. And I asked him, do you ever feel like you should be rebaptized again? He's like, never. He goes, I was part of a church that preached it every week. Every single week I heard that I should get baptized. He goes, like, I watched thousands of people get baptized for years and years, and I just never did it, and I never really felt compelled to. And I was like, do you feel like your baptism was something that God has called you to? And he's like, yeah, it was part of my tradition, and I've walked with it through all of my life. And so here's the thing. If you're been part of a Reformed church or Methodist church or Presbyterian church, we're not going to fight with you about that. If you feel like your confirmation was enough to confirm your baptism, then we say, amen. That is a wonderful thing, and we're grateful that you are here. We don't think you have to be rebaptized. Now, if you want to get rebaptized as a follower of Jesus, as one who's committed themselves later on in life, you can, and we would talk to you about those things as well. But if you're interested in that, you're more than welcome to talk through that. But we don't require anyone to be baptized before they receive the Lord's Supper or to be a part of our church community or anything like that. That's not what we see baptism as. It's simply an act of obedience to Jesus. And so, however, here's one more piece of the puzzle. If you were baptized as an infant in a Catholic church, that is a different thing altogether, all right? There is a belief about baptism in the Catholic Church which basically says that you're saving yourself at that point from the fires of hell. And so that if you died as an infant, you wouldn't go to hell is kind of the idea behind that in general, in a very large general picture. And so if you were baptized in that's something different. And you should talk to one of us about baptism. There's a whole different thing there. It's not a Christian tradition. It's not something that actually points to the work of Jesus Christ for your sins. It's more of a works-based thing where you've tried to make yourself savable by God. So there's some things about that. Secondly, we also do this whole thing with baptism about dunking people in the water. And why is that? Because the word baptized in Scripture just literally means to plunge under. That's what it means. And so we just run with that. So we always baptize people when dunking in the water. However, we're not going to fight about that one either. In fact, several years ago, I was involved in a baptism of a lady who was in a wheelchair and couldn't get out. And so we poured water on her and baptized her in that way. And it was an amazing moment. And so there may be some things that you say, I don't want to get baptized because I'm afraid to crawl up the steps, which is a totally legitimate fear. This thing is huge, by the way. So, but you may say, like, I'm nervous about getting up there and I'm all that kind of stuff. We would talk to you about those things, and there's conversations we could have about that. But your step is still obedience and following Jesus and being baptized, because that is what you should do. So we don't want to get caught up in secondary things and fight over those things as churches, but we do want to make it known that we are a believer's baptism church, and we want you to get baptized if you're a believer in Jesus. Those are the things you should know. The final thing today, and as I close, is this idea. It's the forward arrow. I like this one. God's family, the community. This is your baptism into the family of God. And this gets to the whole big idea of being part of the church. Like, honestly, friends, you are not just baptized for yourself. You're baptized for our church community. We get a chance to celebrate that with you. When you're baptized, you go under the water and you come up. We have a yip-yawn good time at that moment. We start clapping. We're like, yeah! Why? Because you've just called yourself and identified yourself as part of the church. You've identified yourself with Jesus, and we are so grateful for that. You're now part of his family. So baptism is a celebration of bringing people into the family of God. It's why we do it in front of everyone. It's why we make that experience so public, in a sense, because it shows the celebration of baptism. So a new believer is not just making a commitment to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as Matthew 28 says, but it's also making a commitment to the church family. It's assuming this responsibility of being part of the family. There's a new member. There's a new part of us, and we get to rejoice in that together. It doesn't matter their background, their age, their race, their socioeconomic background. We rejoice in someone joining the family of God, and we get to be this mysterious and amazing family of God together. So it's bringing those who identify with a different worldview at one point into the Christ-centered worldview and celebrating with them that they are now part of our family. That is a cool part. So, and then at that point, there are so many things that you get to do. You get to use your gifts for the glory of God, for the benefit of the church. You get to be part of the church in a way that says, like, yeah, I'm setting myself away, setting myself apart as the family, and I'm committed to this thing. I'm committed to you. You are committed to me, and I'm excited to see what's forward for us as a church community. As I close today, I want to address a couple things that you guys, I think, are thinking right now. And there's people in here that have heard this message today, which, honestly, I told someone after first gathering, I was like, man, I feel like I'm doing a seminar on baptism today. Someone's like, that was really good, though. I never thought through those things. I'm like, praise God, because it feels like a seminar. But here's the thing. There's some people in here today that I think are wondering. You might put yourself in the category. The first type of person in here, maybe you're here today, you're invited by someone, you're not a follower of Jesus yet. And you're like, baptism is weird, man, you know? First thing you don't do is baptism. That's not your first step. Your first step is to come to the cross of Jesus Christ, to look to Jesus who sacrificed himself for our sins, who died on the cross and resurrected unto new life. And our job is really twofold in that moment. It's faith and repentance. We come to faith in Jesus and believe in his good news and the work of the cross, and we repent of our sins and we turn to him and follow him. That's our first step. Baptism will come after that, but your first step is not baptism. Your first step is coming to Jesus Christ. Then secondly, you can think about baptism. And for those of you who are in here today, if you are believers and you've never been baptized, let me ask you the most simplest of questions. Why not? Why not? Christianity is about throwing aside our pride, friends. I know some of us are worried about looking there or like getting up in the front of everyone. And, you know, I know there's all kinds of things, but if there's a sense of Christianity where we just have to put aside our own pride and dignity and say that we are now followers of Jesus, it's worth it. It's the best decision to be able to jump into that. And that's our first step in following Jesus Christ. Again, it's not for the super mature in here. You're like, oh, I sinned last week. Join the club. You know, we all did. But you can take that step in baptism and be person who publicly says your faith is in Christ. You're identifying with Christ and the church, and you are putting yourself a set apart person. It's an amazing thing. Thirdly, here goes back to that infant baptism thing. You might ask me, like, what if I was infant baptized? You know, what do I do in that way? I didn't really understand my confirmation class. I didn't really think about all this kind of stuff. You can talk to one of us. You can ask questions about that, what that looked like, the tradition. We're not going to poo-poo on your tradition at all. It's not our goal here. Our hope is to help you think through some of these things as a church and biblically, our authorities in the text and the Bible. And I think any one of us on staff here would be, or any of our elders would be happy to talk to you about that and what it looks like. And even to ask the question, should I be rebaptized? Should I do that? Should I take that step? And we'll help you answer that at some level or another. The answer may surprise you. It may be no, you shouldn't be rebaptized because you went through this and that and the other. And we might say that to you. How crazy might that be? But we will honor traditions in some ways here at Imprint Church. And then the final thought is this. Some of you are thinking to yourself, like, I didn't understand all about this about baptism before I got baptized. I have no idea what I just jumped into here, what I jumped into years ago. Or you might be saying, should I get rebaptized? Because now I just understand it now. And the answer to that is no. just rejoice in the fact that you were baptized. Get a chance in just a minute. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to respond to the Lord. We're going to worship together as the worship team comes up here. And in that point, you can say, man, you don't have to feel guilty about the fact that you didn't understand everything about baptism. You can just say, Lord, I'm grateful that I got a chance to do that. It was meaningful for me at the time. And I want to, in my heart, just recommit myself to you. And you can do that even now. So as we sing these songs, you get a chance to respond. If you have not been baptized, pull out that connection card. Fill that thing out, pull out the app, pull out your phone, write down that you're interested in baptism. We'll contact you this week. We've said this before, but just because you check the mark on there doesn't mean you're getting baptized next Sunday. It means we're going to have a conversation with you and talk to you about that. And so if you want to open that door, it'd be great to talk to you about that. Thirdly, you're welcome to pray. Spend some time praying with people here. We have prayer partners in the back who have prayer tags on. They'd be happy to pray for you about anything. It doesn't have to be just about baptism. If you've got anything going on in your life, you can pray with people in the back. And then finally, you can come forward and do a couple things up here. You can receive communion. Up on the tables, there is a bread, and you can dip that in the cup and receive that by faith, proclaiming the Lord's death and his resurrection until he comes. There's a gluten-free option over here, as well as there's baskets up here where you're welcome to come forward at any time and give as an act of worship as well. Let me close in one more second. I'm about 5 minutes over, but I'm going to close with one more word. I had a great experience 2 years ago on Easter that changed my life forever. And I did this extemporaneously last service, and I'm going to do it again this service because I'm really grateful for this. But you may be asking yourself, should I get baptized? And what was amazing is a dear friend of mine who was part of our launch team at Imprint Church 7 years ago, named Nathan Ukrainitz, was up playing bass on Sunday, during Easter Sunday, if you remember this. And he took off his bass and put it down and walked over the tub and got in and got baptized that day. And we baptized him. He got out. And we put him back up here. I'm not sure if he started playing guitar again. I think he might have electrocuted himself or something, so we probably didn't do that. But here's the thing. It was so impacting to me. Like, I watched Nathan make that decision. I was like, here's a guy who's my age, and he's making a choice that he's been in church all his life. He's followed Jesus, and he's taking the next step of baptism. And for me, it was meaningful to me. And I've thought of Nathan many times in my own life, even when I've thought, like, oh, I'm accountable to people in our church. I'm accountable to Nathan, who stood up in front of us and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I have that same accountability. That's what baptism does. And you get a chance to do that next week. I mean, we do this next week, and you'll stand before everyone and say, I'm following Jesus. And so I know I'm putting the hard sell on this morning. I'm not a salesman, but I'm putting the hard sell on this morning. But you should get baptized if you've not been as a follower of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me about these things? God, thanks so much for your word. God, I know it confronts us at times, and it helps us to recognize our desperate need of you. So Lord, I pray as we talked about this today, I want to see people respond to you in faith, Lord. And I think this is a great way to do this, to take that next step. So Lord, as we worship now and as we think about this, may you speak to us. May your spirit draw us near to you, that we might have this moment of clarity and say, yeah, I want to jump in. I want to be part of this. I want to be a follower of Christ. And I want to respond in that way. So Lord, give us the faith to do that. Lord, I pray for those in here who didn't even care about baptism up till now, but are now thinking about it. Would you put it on their hearts, Lord, to speak to them on what they should do in their next steps, Lord? And God, as we worship you now, may we respond to you in a way that's that where you meet with us and where we experience that presence that we talked about a little bit ago. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you and thank you for the word that you've spoken to us today. Help us to indeed take that step of discipleship. In Jesus' name, amen.